From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Poprad, your sideways look at the news, with myself, Eric Wiltshire, in the beautiful town of Poprad, in the east of Slovakia, Lee Banks in the UK, and Mark Gander in Paris. As promised, before the break, it's O2 time. What?
Well, yeah, I've got to say, honestly, and I've got to be honest, I feel quite alone when I bring these subjects up, because I never get any great support from here, and I don't understand why. I think this is another incredible attack on privacy and freedom.
Yeah, well,
the O2
right.
have you're gone right. to the Supreme Court in America, or the Supreme Court could soon allow police to monitor the movements of US mobile phone users without a warrant.
No, that's good. That's being thrown out, Lee. I'll tell you that now. Absolutely.
It wasn't thrown out this morning.
It will be thrown out.
Well, how can you say that?
In America, for the same reasons that the SOPA law was thrown out a couple of weeks ago, it's called election time.
Oh, yeah, right, okay. But, yeah, it might be thrown out as a precursor to an election. But I'll tell you what, by God, if this is there and it's the world is capable of doing it, then believe me, it's going to take place. That people now, because they own a mobile phone, mm-hmm. their whole movements will be monitored without a warrant, and it's the without a warrant that takes place. And believe
and
me,
what happens,
thrown out now.
What happens when you go into a town centre?
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. Everything that you do is now monitored. There was a film on TV last week, and I can't remember what it was.
Right.
But it was about the fact that every single thing you do is monitored, and you are followed everywhere by CCTV cameras, by satellites, by everything. And now the fact that police will be able to follow you because of your mobile phone. All right, you could go on about this. There was a bloke I was talking to. He said that when he was a kid in the 60s, he drew the year 2000 as blokes in little silver suits and cars with no wheels. And that was a sort of bizarre way of looking at sci-fi way of looking at things. And yet this is here. We have no freedom. We have no privacy.
Right, can I just stop you there? Because I'm going to ask Mark the question. Mark, yeah. you now live in Paris,
yeah.
which means this is the difference between the UK and the mainland of Europe. Yeah. I presume then that you carry an identity card.
No, I don't.
So you opted out or just haven't bothered?
I just don't bother.
Okay. can I tell you one thing then?
Yeah. Incidentally, I'm breaking the law.
Well, I would have thought
so. And you've just admitted it on the air.
Yeah, thank you. Well done.
I've just admitted it on the air.
Well done. I carry a Slovak identity card.
Yeah.
Okay. It gives people a lot of information about me, which I'm not. Whether it's good or bad doesn't matter. I'm sure it'll help a doctor one day. If they need to get my records quickly, they can do it. But that's not the point. Everybody's been banging on about, you know, all these rights and whether it's infringing civil liberties and blah, 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 with the likes of ID cards in the UK. I've got my ID card in my wallet now, alongside my credit card, alongside other bits of paper and my papers for the car and whatever else. And it really does not impact on me. Where it does impact on me is when Mr. Policeman says, well, who are you then, when they want to do a check? I'll just show him that, and he goes, oh, thank you very much. And it's so quick. And my point is that it can be the same with a lot of these, what people classify as intrusive areas, like cameras, like GPS settings and the like. If it enables a criminal to get caught quicker, whilst good people can go around their day-to-day business unhindered, surely that's got to be good.
Well, all right, can I ask you a question in riposte? I'm sorry, Mark, I know it was a question to you, but it just incensed me by what he said. Right. How, you know, really, what you're saying in a utopian world is fine, that we're all honest and above board and we walk around and everybody knows everybody else. It was like a village. It's like living in a village, the global village. But how has crime fallen in the world? Has it fallen? No, it hasn't.
No, because there's more people in the world.
So it actually doesn't work then anyway. Everything negates
it. It does. Not at all.
Not really. I mean, you could be right that maybe crime hasn't fallen. I mean, you're absolutely right. But the trouble is that we don't know how much worse it might have got without those things.
Exactly.
I have to say, I suppose, actually...
What a fallacious argument.
You like that word today, don't you?
I think it's a fallacious argument simply to say that crime is rising. We don't know what the rate might have been.
Let me say that, hold on, I've got a fact for you. That if you looked at the local or the latest crime figures for London, you'll find they've gone down.
That goes back to what Mark was talking about. No, well, I'm talking about this.
Well, in that case, it must be working. Look, all I wanted to say was that I think it's probably a factor of my age, because I must say that I find that the older I get, the less I'm bothered about having CCTVs all over the place. And I don't carry an identity card, not out of act of rebellion, but really just because I'm not used to it and I can't be bothered. Mm. I wish there were CCTV cameras all around Paris, because there aren't, because it's a vile and vicious and aggressive and lawless place, and there's no regulation, there's no protection from the police, and I wish there was. So if you want freedom, well, you know, freedom, liberté...
It comes at a price.
They're one of their big things here, liberté, but they don't have intégrité, and they don't have sécurité. So I think there was a bit more about that. I don't really see a problem about having cameras, but as I say, that could be because of my age.
Could be.
But Eric's just said that there is a price to pay for that. And the fact is that the price you've got to pay is your complete loss of liberty and freedom.
No, it's not, because if you're not breaking the law...
The liberty and freedom I have here is to be able to go along the sidewalks here and have cars parked up on it and motorcycles parked on it and have to walk around...
That happens everywhere. That happens in London.
It doesn't happen in London, I can tell you that.
No, it does not. It does not.
Because the place is... It never happens. It never happens in London.
Mark, you are slightly
outside Britain keep telling me what happens in Britain when I live here.
Well, you don't even know what London's village is.
You're in Manchester. I've seen Shameless on television. I know what really happens in there.
The fact is, great. Yes, there are parking offences that take place in London, absolutely. But with the cameras and the access to that footage, people can move those obstacles out of the way much quicker than they would do normally.
I mean, Lido, you don't understand that in Paris, I'm talking about wholesale, okay? Wholesale, disobedience or disregard for the regulations. I'm talking about motorcyclists, for instance, who decide that they can't be bothered to go around the block to do the one way street in the correct direction, who simply come up the wrong way or just get on the pavement and they will mow you down. And it is regular as clockwork.
So that again is what you would sell your privacy and your freedom and your integrity for. So people won't ride on your pavements in Paris. And also, I know
I'd sell their privacy for it. I'd sell any Frenchman's privacy for it immediately. and I'm not kidding you. I think at the end of the day, because most of Parisians hate this place anyway.
Can we come back to the basic question? If you're not breaking the law or doing anything wrong, therefore you're not going to get your liberty infringed because you're doing everything right. Yeah. What difference does it make?
Well, I want my
because the world has now adapted to become
God. To be knifed, and I want my liberty not to be harassed and not to feel frightened when I'm going out amongst traffic and maybe into some rough areas. Mm. Those are the liberties that I actually.
I'll tell you what, Mark. This will summarise it. As an ex-London person for many many years. I one time had to come to this office a couple of years back in the middle of the night, and I'd had a glass of wine. Therefore, I got a taxi to the office. I fixed the computers that were working, suddenly realised, because it was really hot, I was in shorts and a shirt, and my instant reaction was, oh my God, I've got my mobile and wallet with me. And then I went, hang on, you stupid idiot, you're in Poprad. It doesn't matter here, you're safe to walk home. Now, people cannot do that in London. But they can.
Of course they can. If the people couldn't do that in London, that would mean that everybody who steps out on the street would get robbed and beaten up and killed. And what a ludicrous argument that is.
How many crimes are in London on one night
does not mean that the whole of the population has been robbed and killed.
One of the reasons why you are so safe in London is because it is well regulated, it's well protected.
Where the cameras are, you are very, very safe. Where there's not cameras, you're not. Look at the crime figures.
And at least if they kill you, they're going to find your killers.
Thank you. Which moves us straight on to a headline for Lee Banks, who's now going to have to change tack dramatically. A trillion reasons to escape Britain, says Lee Banks.
Well, the reason is we have an economy, right? An economy that is based on a failing system, right? That's a simple fact. You can't deny that. And we have suddenly, by this government, hit £1 trillion worth of debt in Britain.
Let's just quantify that for balance.
What is a trillion?
The trillion is a combination of two governments. Not one government. The other lot borrowed, shed loads of money, which they couldn't pay back. Mm. Basically, when David Cameron came in, the country was as good as bust. And if it wasn't for the fact it was GB, it would have been bust. And so there's both major political parties, in fact, all three major political parties, are involved in the current debt crisis.
Of course they are, and so is the rest of the world. What I'm saying is that this country, where they're clamping down on everything, like, I know the £26,000 benefits cap was kicked out quite rightly because of the lords of the church and things like that, who made it go away.
But No. They have rejected it in the House of Lords. It now goes back to the House of Commons. And the House of Commons has the right to push it through.
So it can still come. I'm just saying at the moment, it's been rejected. That's
no, no, it's not been rejected at all.
You've just said it has.
It's been held in.
Rejected. No.
It has not been rejected as a bill. It's been put on hold while it goes back. There is no absolute rejection of that bill yet.
No, obviously, yeah.
Well, it's as much as they're allowed to do to reject it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think there are two
things. We've got to use the word rejected and say it hasn't been rejected.
I'm dejected it's rejected. No, I'm extremely pleased. And I have to say, I mean, although this is sort of off topic a little bit, but, I mean, all the people who often are sort of very, very left-wing, which I don't have any problem with, I'm far more left than I am right, but who start saying, well, you know, the House of Lords is an anachronism. Am I talking to myself here? It's all gone.
No, you're doing well.
All the people who say that, you know, the House of Lords is just an anachronism and it's got no place in modern politics and what have you. But actually, who is it? Which is it that often stands up and defends these kind of things, these kind of very, very tricky issues, and stands up for the poorer people in the country? It is actually the House of Lords again, and they're doing exactly the same thing here in respect of benefits.
And the Labour Party wanted to get rid of it very quickly.
And the Labour Party wanted to get rid of them, and the Conservative Party isn't too keen about them at all. The other thing to say is that you say the crazy borrowers want to cut benefits, axe your overdraft, and put Britain back in a horse and cart. But we are back in a horse and cart. It's a black horse. It's owned by Lloyds TSB Bank and Halifax Bank of Scotland. And in the cart, there's all the rest of the banks, and the government and the regulators won't do anything about it. And that's a trillion reasons, if you like, to escape Britain, except everywhere else is worse.
Can I just say to you that today in Britain, as we sit here now talking, petrol has hit £8 a gallon.
Good.
Yeah, and?
Well, that's the situation we're in. That's why we're back in a horse and cart, because nobody can afford to go to work anymore. There is also something I think I mentioned before, but there is now something that the benefits office say that you have to apply for 11 jobs a week. They kicked a lad that I know personally off benefits because he only applied for 9. They left him for 2 weeks without any money.
That is not to teach him. No, it's right. What you're saying is absolutely right. I totally agree.
They are going crazy for it, and I think they're being egged on by this government in a very, very extreme and nasty way. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is, you know, where is the big society that Cameron promised? Well, I can tell you what, the big society is for the people who can afford the membership, and for anybody who can't afford the membership, they're out.
The story comes up as many city experts say that Britain could go into a double-dip recession. Yes, it could. If you lot keep going negative, it will go negative. If you start actually getting out there and doing something, it will
That's
go positive.
My phone again.
Sorry?
That's my phone again.
Well, look, the economy is going up and going down, isn't it? I mean, double dip, double blip, double dip, double blip. There we are. I mean, now into the double dip.
And it's been doing it for donkey's years.
It has.
And it goes all the time. It's cycles of the world.
Well, it's nothing to do with bicycles. What I'm talking about is the fact that, right, okay, you're quite right. And why do we not accept that this economic system is
funny situation?
Right? Why don't we start to investigate ways of doing something different to rescue the fiscal part
right,
of this world?
This is going to annoy you, Mark. This is going to annoy me.
I'm annoyed anyway.
Last week, I purposely avoided a story about the recent solar flares.
Yeah.
Which can, and I've watched them do it, they can interrupt satellite broadcasts and satellite links. And with the modern world, because they use satellites, they could affect GPS reception. There's lots of things they could do.
Halos around your aurora.
Absolutely. And there was a massive piece on one particular...
And your Borealis.
Yeah, one massive piece of doom and gloom. And I sat there and I went, you are such a pillock. That is not proven.
I'm a pillock.
No, not you. It's not fact. And the journalist was going on and on and on, which with some stuff which could be cut and paste from some other negative books. In reality, has anybody's satellite gone off this week? Has your GPS stopped working?
I don't have a satellite or a GPS.
Don't have a car.
Well, your friends in the media would have talked about it, Lee. And there isn't any, because it was a non-story. And if people actually started to find some positive news rather than negative news, but of course, that's harder to sell newspapers with.
Not at all. What a load of rubbish. Absolute rubbish. The simple fact is that, right, let's look at it. I also have to say, right, and it was something that I noticed yesterday, right, because I knew this sort of thing would be coming up. On the TV news, Sky News, BBC News, and the ITV News, every single news program has a section where they say, right, we'll have a look at the front pages today, ladies and gentlemen, and this is what they say, because we are still... And also, there was a politician on ITV who said, well, the newspapers are saying, and everywhere, the newspapers are still influential, and the reason they're influential, and the reason that was a good story
is
because it was interesting.
No, because nobody silly beggars
believes that the sun's solar flares are going to destroy the world. It's just an interesting fact. It's interesting and nice to read and uses nice pictures.
It's because the huge broadcast networks give free advertising to the newspapers.
Yeah, of course, because they respect them and they need them. Why else would they do it? They need them.
They don't need
there
them at all.
There wouldn't be any BBC local radio talking programmes if we didn't have newspapers, because they'd have to get off their arses and go and find out.
Exactly.
If they what?
Backsides, I think you meant Backsides, to say. Yeah. Anyway, which moves us along to the next subject, which I know is very close to many of our listeners' hearts in America, because organisations are cutting back. The BBC World Service was cutting back. The Voice of America, run by the IBB, that's been facing all sorts of cutbacks, and there has been a huge bun fight about it. So it's very difficult to explain to Americans, because there isn't a broadcaster like the BBC, and it doesn't have local radio as you do in America, because there are NPR stations, but they're slightly different, and they have to do advertising and hold their hands out for subscriptions and stuff like that. Whereas the BBC one is funded by the licence payer, and so there are local stations. We don't have them here either.
Hello. What a load of rubbish.
It's the truth.
It is basically the truth, but is that anodyne form of truth that actually has no basis on reality. Of course, the BBC are now moving into the world of advertising, quite generally moving into it. It's a world service are going first, and then next we'll take Manhattan. This is the way the things are going. BBC on the television are actually using advertising product placement to enhance what they're doing.
No, They can't take a fee for it. They're doing it. They are not
allowed to take a remuneration package. Foreigners are telling me what's happening in Britain. I witnessed it. I sit there and watch it.
It's against the charter, mate. They can't invoice.
Of course it's against the charter, but they're still doing it.
Well, they're doing it for free, then.
Well, they might be doing it for free, but in which case... product placement is a thing of the future for the BBC. There is no doubt about it.
I was reading about this, Mark, if you haven't seen some of it, on the big soap opera of the UK, the one that's up in his part of the world. There's a cash machine for a well-known bank in this little shop, which is really out of place and looks stupid, but the camera keeps shooting at it so they can invoice that said bank for money.
Now, the heart, that isn't the BBC.
No, it's not the BBC. That is a commercial thing, and it's slightly different, which brings us back to the topic, we hope, of BBC local radio, which I was explaining to people, because here we have no state local radio. It's only state national services, where there are community-style stations, which I have to say the BBC have, and I will also say are very much out of tune with the public. And most of their presenters are out of tune with the public, but they could
and
be...
And it's the tunes they play.
Which is way out of touch with the public.
Yeah.
And I have to say, it is murdering what could be the most amazing local broadcast outlet system in the world. Because that's what it can be.
I don't think there's an argument to be had here. I agree with you completely. It's anodyne, it's smug, it's boring, and it's ridiculous. Commercial local radio is far better. And the thing is also, commercial, going back to what you said, or I made a pun out of, the fact is that commercial local radio plays far better music than the BBC is mired, local radio is mired in playing Phil Collins, Rosemary Clooney, and Daniel O'Donnell.
Well, one out of the three is all right. The other two, yeah, I agree with you very much.
Yeah, it's just wrong. You see, we as an industry in the newspapers have had to move towards local, more local news. I'm not talking about the nationals, because the nationals have actually stopped editionising and regionalising their news. Mm. But generally, the ones that are taking off are people who give local news. And like I said earlier on, without the newspapers, the BBC local radio wouldn't exist, because they'd have to go out and actually look for something, and they're not capable of doing
it. But they do, Lee. There are some of the local stations that do go out. In fact, I was talking with a colleague about one very, very recently who went out...
I can't.
It's commercially sensitive. But they actually...
How can it be commercially sensitive if it's the BBC?
Because the client who they went to... The person they went to see is a client of mine, and it's commercially sensitive that way round. Right. Simple as that.
Commercialism. So the BBC are involved in commercialism?
No, they're my clients, not the BBC's, but they were covering a news story about work and work placement at a company that I work with, therefore I'm not going to say. But it's safe to say they took a radio car out to talk to young people about jobs. They didn't get them into the studio. They didn't sort of do it on the phone. They sent out a radio car to a youth orientated story. And do you know what? I nearly fell over. I genuinely did. Because they weren't talking about how to keep your cat clean at Auntie Mabel's house, which is boring. And I actually said to somebody I know, are you really, it wasn't that subject, going to do that topic about which vinegar to put on fish and chips on your radio show on a BBC local radio station the other day? And he responded, why, what's wrong with it?
It's an interesting point, and I agree with you. But also, I have to say, as again, being in Britain and listening to local radio...
Local radio is available worldwide.
Yeah, anybody, well, he listens to Radio Shropshire in Venezuela.
Well, why would they bother? It's boring.
Exactly. But one of the things that local radio in Britain does now, the BBC's local radio, is that it now starts to vaunt the local businesses. They're making local business. They're making news stories out of local business. We had an incredible story came across on BBC Shropshire. I hold no bones about it. About somebody who'd set up a commercial website. What as if that was news? Somebody set up a commercial website and they did 10 minutes on it. Now, if that isn't moving in the direction of advertising, local advertising, I don't know what is.
But that's what the BBC local should be doing, complimenting local business for getting off their backside and doing something. And it doesn't matter. And it never mattered. It never mattered. It never mattered to me. If you think about what I did on BBC Locals, and you can verify this, it's very easy to do, because there's recordings all over the web. My job with the BBC Locals was technology, new developments, what was coming up, what you had to do. And I spent years and years doing it. Every programme I did under your auspices is an advert, because if I wanted to talk about Trust or AN Other Lee Electronics, I'd have to mention it, or the company.
That's a different thing.
But it's not. Local business has set up a website. It's mine! It's mine! It's mine! It's mine! hang on a minute. This will be funny. Hold on, Lee. You can say hello to the world, or I can call you back in 10 minutes. Which would you prefer? The first option is say hello to the world. Do you want to do that? Myra's going to... I don't know if this is going to work. Hang on, let's try that. Myra, say hello now.
Hello!
It did work. She just said hello to the world. I'll call you back in 10. Ciao! One of my colleagues who found that very hysterical. That was my colleague Myra just saying hello to the audience around the world. But the point I'm making, Lee, is BBC Local should do more of this, encourage local businesses to get online, because that's a very good thing, and why not shout about it and encourage one or two others to do it? But where the BBCs go wrong is they do not give that final bit of information, the how-to guide.
No,
to the listeners.
I don't agree.
I do.
Well, I know you agree. You wouldn't be saying it if you didn't agree with yourself. What I'm saying is...
Mark, can we have your opinion? Me and him will shut up for a minute.
I do think that local radio is not only there to entertain local communities, but also to service them.
Yes.
So I think that if servicing them means, for instance, that it's going to assist businesses and assist activity in the area, and it's going to be it's going to reflect the views of the area, then I think you could be right. I think it's got a very complicated function, actually, maybe more complicated than national radio in some ways.
It has.
Can I just say something there, which I think will explain.
30 seconds, Lee.
Everybody. Very simply, if a newspaper put a story in saying that such and such a business has opened up a website, isn't that good, blah, blah, that's it, then it would be blatant advertising. It wouldn't happen because they'd have to pay for it. What you have to do is say that this is a fantastic business, is an amazing, never done before thing. That's what news is about, something that's never happened before.
Yeah. That was Postcard from Pop Prep for another week, boys and girls. I'm sorry, we've got to say goodbye there. I'm sure the BBC debate will roll on and on.
The Station of the Stars. RTI.